to give our last discourse of the convention. You've chosen a very good subject to close with, cause for gratitude.
For a while, I didn't know what topic I wanted to speak here at Jackson at the convention. But after I made the decision to pick this topic, and after being here for 3 days, I realize it's indeed a very appropriate kind of a topic, because we do indeed have much to be thankful for at this time. So in a way, it's kind of difficult to come to a point at a convention because we say, this is it. This is the end. So that part might, you know, seem rather sad. But the thing we have to consider is the incredible blessings that we received over the last 3 days. It's like a saying that the Scottish have. Some things are better felt than telt. I indeed could feel your love and your support and your cooperation. I indeed appreciated the discourses, the baptismal services, and the fact that dear Kathy and Brother Hubert gave their lives to the Lord indeed was a blessing. So the love, the hospitality, the generosity, and I was even thinking the tremendous arrangements that this is all in the way of a testimony or in my talk. It's cause for gratitude. I was thinking of the tremendous program that this ecclesia put on for our young people. Tremendous. Takes a lot of coordination, organization, and then it has to be carried out by the dear brothers and sisters, respectively, according to a format. And so that is another rich blessing that I want to express my gratitude to for, because these things I get just chills when I think about them. Then we had this beautiful song that you just sang, and that is a message in itself, and I think we're going to quote that in a little while. So we have felt the Spirit, the love of the brethren, and I was talking to Brother Lenny out there this morning, and we kind of have kinds of jobs where we deal with the world, and it's going to be a whole new ball game tomorrow. I was talking to Brother Tony about that too. It's a whole new realm. It's going to be totally different. But isn't it wonderful that we have been here, we've been filled, we've been recharged, and we can face the world in a much more positive manner. So today we thought it would be most appropriate for us to share or bring out a few of the wonderful thoughts on gratitude and thankfulness that is just throughout our scriptures. There are many scriptural lessons that lend itself to this topic, cause for gratitude and thankfulness. And we're also going to share a few of the gifts that our Heavenly Father continues to give to us in a bountiful way, as He did in the past, as He's doing now, and as He's going to do in the marvelous future. I'd like to just take a minute and read those words very rapidly to that song that you just sang, the three stanzas, because I think there's a message in them all by themselves. It goes like this. When all our mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Oh, how can words with equal warmth the gratitude declare that glows within my inmost heart, but thou canst read it there. Through all eternity to thee a grateful song I'll raise, and my eternal joy shall be to herald wide thy praise. Aren't those beautiful words? So we'll begin this day by taking a look at some of the Psalms that certainly teach us gratitude and thankfulness. So if you, at this time, would turn to the 92nd chapter of Psalms. One of the sisters in the testimony mentioned that Psalms are so dear to her, and they are indeed dear to all of us. In that 92nd chapter of Psalms, David wrote the following. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy steadfast love in the morning and thy faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by thy work. At the works of thy hands I sing for joy. Aren't those beautiful words that were penned by the psalmist David? So, dear brethren, we believe the scripture suggests the appropriateness for practicing praise and gratitude, especially to our Heavenly Father, who bestows so many bountiful blessings upon us all, not only natural that we see every day, but also spiritual, especially in the future. So as the thought expressed in these four verses in this 92nd Psalm, we have to show our appreciation and our thankfulness every day as we encounter these blessings, because they are all about us. Sometimes I feel the rapidity of life, the fact that we live in a society that seems to be moving on so fast, we can't keep up. I personally sometimes feel I fail in not giving true attention in gratitude toward my Heavenly Father. So it's really something that I have to work toward, because God has provided us sustenance for each and every one of us, day after day. Let's turn to another psalm, because there are so many psalms of thanksgivings. This time, please turn with me to the 145th psalm. Psalm 145. It's another psalm of thanksgiving. We'll consider verses 15 and 16. We read, "The eyes of all look to thee, and thou givest them their food in due season. Thou openest thy hand, thou satisfiest the desire of every living thing." In other words, the scriptures here, again, support the notion that our Heavenly Father takes care of his total creation. You know, for the most part, the people in the world today, they do not know God. You don't have to look too far to see that. They do not honor God. They do not obey God. They certainly do not follow his ordinances. Many nations of the world today even derate him, even his existence, rather than give him thanks and gratitude, showing thanks and gratitude. And I like that lesson that is brought out that I think is applicable to us. It's the story of the 10 lepers in the 17th chapter of Luke. If you want to turn to that 17th chapter of Luke, I forgot what verses we're talking about. But in that 17th chapter of Luke, you know the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. All 10 were cleansed. All 10 were healed, the account tells us. And there's a beautiful article that brings out some valuable lessons on this, and reprint article 5454 on this particular example here. Reprint 5454. It does a wonderful job in explaining this particular phase of the Scriptures. We know how the story went. Jesus instructed all 10 of these lepers, these that had leprosy, and by the way, they were both Jews and Gentiles. They seem to have been pulled together because of their commonality of that disease that they had. So both Jews and Gentiles, Jesus told them to go to the priest. So they did, and when they arrived, the priest told them that they were healed, that they were cured, that they were cleansed. And I can imagine, or can you imagine what joy that must have been? I don't know exactly how leprosy is, but I think it affects your speech and your mobility and all kinds of physical ailments. But it must have been really something after the priest pronounced them cured. They must have been overjoyed. They could go back now and return to their families. And I suspect some of them probably even ran back after having an ailment like this and then being cured. And the lesson for us to consider is, the account tells us, there was only one of ten that took the time to go back and express his gratitude to Jesus here. The account tells us with a loud voice, he fell on his face to praise Jesus. Don't you think our master must have been touched by this one who took the time to come back and render thanks, to show his gratitude to the Lord? The nine did not render thanks. Gratitude was not in their heart. And this one that came back, according to this reprint article, indicates that he was a Samaritan, an alien, a foreigner from the Commonwealth of Israel. So again, this is a wonderful example, brethren, for us to consider. Do you go to the Lord as often as you should? Do I go to the Lord as often as I should and give praise unto him? Let's consider another psalm at this time. Psalm 117. It happened to be the one that the Grand Rapids class sent through three of our class members who attended the International Convention. And I think the words are exceptionally appropriate. Because as it admonishes us, all nations to thank him. So that 117th Psalm, we read, "Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And then we'll consider the first verse of that 118. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Now that's a long time, isn't it? Forever, or everlasting life, everlastingly, or eternally. Those are profound words, that his love and his faithfulness endures forever. His mercy endureth forever. What a concept. And we know that this scripture will not be really completely implemented until the completion of the millennial age, after the nations have been humbled and have been enlightened by God. The present world in which we live this time does not see the ultimate plan, the ultimate good, that of this notion that God's mercy endureth forever. They do not see that. Our thankfulness need not be for what he is doing at this present time, but of what he is going to do for all nations, as written in this prophecy that we just read in the 117. because we know the blessings of all the families of the earth through the seed of Abraham is going to be implemented and realized. Then the world, all the nations, will understand. Because the scriptures clearly teach that in due time, all the people, all the nations, will be thankful or will say, as the prophet said, the prophet Isaiah said, in Isaiah, that very well-known chapter that I'm sure you brethren have read many times, Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. I'm sure you're familiar with the prophecy here. In that 25th chapter, verses 6 through 9, we read, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from their faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Again, brethren, this prophecy here is for the rich, for the poor. It's for all the nations are together going to see these blessings being fulfilled and realized. The joys and pleasures in this prophecy will be well defined and well refined. The sinful weaknesses, the sorrow, the gloom will be swallowed up in that day of blessings. The mountain, the kingdom of God, the new Jerusalem, he will destroy, and this veil of ignorance will be removed. The covering of death. Death, as the prophecy says, will be swallowed up in victory. And also tears will be wiped away from all faces. Isn't that a prophecy that we can be thankful for? Show our gratitude toward? These kinds of promises that we can read about that the prophet wrote for our use help us not become discouraged when we see what's going on in the world today? The world affairs. It helps us realize that we have to be thankful for this plan that God has. Even though, as we said earlier, the conditions that we see make it quite difficult at times. When we consider the hunger and the strife and the crime, the incredible family problems that are all about. The rumors of war, what's going on in little Israel and Lebanon. I read and heard just in the past week that there were 8 million Indian people homeless as a result of a flood that hit there. 8 million. I think it was Monday or Tuesday of last week. I thought, 8 million people homeless? Isn't that something? So those people, it's difficult for them to realize this. And of course, these people don't have the wonderful plan that we have, this whole beautiful gem that we call, that's brought out so beautifully in the first volume, the whole permission of evil. We realize and we understand why God has allowed the permission of evil. We're not going to get into all the lessons. That's a whole topic by itself. But the world does not understand that concept. And what a gem it is for us to have that. This knowledge of the plan of the ages. This God's plan. And we need to be constantly reminded of this gem. Because Jesus, in referring to this, in Luke 21:28, said, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up your heads, because your deliverance, your redemption, draweth nigh." So we do not lift up our heads now with gratitude because of the way the world is suffering during this present time, but because of the wonderful kingdom that is promised that lies ahead. We're waiting for the true and fulfilled manifestation of this kingdom, when universal peace and joy will be realized by all mankind. And so our gratitude, again, doesn't have to necessarily be lip service, but it has to come from our hearts, inward parts, or by giving a testimony without sincerity. The thankfulness we are talking about is beyond that. Our hearts need to be in tune with the Heavenly Father, overflowing with thankfulness to Him, because thankfulness is that overflowing of hearts that have been emptied of self and filled with the Holy Spirit. Most every experience that you and I have in life is an occasion for thankfulness, for gratitude. And I feel that oftentimes, like we said earlier in our busyness, we take each other for granted. We don't take the time to relate, to communicate our real inward feelings toward one another. We do not reveal ourselves as we should. I don't show enough gratitude toward the brethren for all that they have done. For example, the elderly in this class. I just had the wonderful privilege of talking and communicating with Sister Cox. And what a pillar she is. What an incredible example you are to me. Because the faith at 91 years young, she's able to tell me that she's thankful. And she used the word gratitude. She said, I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father that I can still walk, that I can get around in the nursing home. And she was praising her Heavenly Father. Brethren, especially the younger brethren, we have a lot to learn from these pillars that were in our midst. And we had some pillars in our midst last year that aren't here now. And the year before, and the year before, and the year before. So we need to take time. They have indeed handed down a tremendous heritage. The wonderful truth and the doctrines that we know today. Their love, their understanding, their wisdom. The truth. And oh, how we miss those that have passed beyond. We really, many of you brethren sitting out there, have expressed, you know, how we miss brother or sister so-and-so who have passed beyond. And that's when we really miss them, when they're gone. So what we're trying to say here, and I'm talking to myself, let's express our gratitude and our thankfulness and our appreciation when we have an opportunity to. This day as well as every day. There's a poem that I feel that comes to mind at this time, and it's very proper and fitting. It happens to be one of the things that we should work toward. It's called Scatter Seeds of Kindness. It fits in very well with one of the fruits of the Spirit. It goes like this. Loving words will cost but little, journeying up the hill of life. But they make the weak and weary stronger, braver for the strife. Do you count them only trifles? What to earth are sun and rain? Never was a kind word wasted. Never was one said in vain. When the cares of life are many, and its burdens heavy grow heavy, for the ones who walk beside you, if you love them, tell them so. What you count of little value hath an almost magic power and breath, that cheering sunshine, hearts will blossom like a flower.
So as up life's hills we journey, let us scatter all the way kindly words to be a sunshine in the dark and cloudy day. Grudge no living word, my brother, as along through life you go. To the ones who journey with you, if you love them, tell them so. So, brethren, we need to extend our gratitude to God for His keeping power in each and every one of our lives. The fact that the Scriptures assure us that He will never, ever leave us or forsake us. And we are grateful, too, that God is, having begun a good work in us, He will finish that work in due time, as the Scriptures tell us will happen. So in this vein, our gratitude is both retroactive and prospective. That is, for the past blessings and for the future blessings. And we think another psalm that we'd like to read at this time, back to the 40th chapter of Psalms, verse 5, brings out this principle beautifully. Psalms, chapter 40, verse 5. Thou hast multiplied, O Lord my God, thy wondrous deeds and thy thoughts toward us. None can compare with thee. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be numbered. Can you imagine that again? More than can be numbered. God's works are more than can be counted. And that's a lot of them, isn't it? Let's consider a few other gifts that our God bestows to us through His wonderful acts. We take life itself, the life that we have. What a great gift this is from our Heavenly Father. He's given all of us life, and this is an incredible gift indeed. He has arranged a remarkable high position for all His faithful followers. He has the offering laid out for eternal life to those who meet the criteria, those who meet the test, those are faithful, those who make their calling and election sure. He has given us the unspeakable gift, a gift beyond words, because He has provided that ransom which opened the way. The life of our Lord Jesus is indeed the most precious gift to us from our Heavenly Father. How can we thank our Heavenly Father enough for this gift? How can we show our gratitude or begin to show our gratitude for this gift of His Son? Because we know that through this gift, we have an opportunity to receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul said it well in another scripture that you know well, Romans 6:23. I'm sure most of you, brethren, know it by heart. It's really a beautiful scripture. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's quite a gift. Our Heavenly Father is leading us, He's guiding us, He's blessing us toward receiving this gift day by day and inch by inch. Because the Scriptures tell us that He loves us, He created us, and He placed us here on earth with life. And boy, what a cause for gratitude this is. What limitless power from our Heavenly Father. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul addressed the church at Ephesus the way he did concerning this point. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20, that's Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. He admonishes the church to do the following. to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. So we need, as the Scripture suggests here, brethren, to continually rejoice, be full of gladness, and by continuing to fellowship one with another, giving thanks always, even for the trials, even for the incredible experiences for life. I heard those beautiful testimonies this morning. And oftentimes, there are joys that follow negative kinds of experiences. And I think that's a positive approach to this whole thing. So we have to be thankful for the clouds that we have, but we also have to be thankful for the sunshine of blessings. Because God is able to make all things work together for good. I'd just like to take a moment here to other additional gifts, which we call the wonders of creation. You know, how many times do we take for granted our five kinesthetic senses? You know, the fact that we have eyes, that we can discern beautiful colors. We can see the beauties in nature. We can see one another. We have our ears, which we can hear the beautiful praises from one another. The beautiful songs, the concerts, the orchestras, the beautiful music. We have our noses to smell the various aromas, the wonderful food that the Jackson classes provided us. The fact that we have this incredible gift of feeling. You know, the fact that if something... we could be blindfolded, and if someone put an ice cube on our fingertip, we could say, that's an ice cube, even if we were blindfolded. If somebody would prick us with a pin, immediately you'd know that there'd be a sense going through our brain, say, that's something sharp, it's a sharp object. And we were talking at the Gaunce last night, this business of, you know, communication and expressing love to one another. And I'll have to honestly say that I, as a Bible student, you know, wasn't a very touchy person. But I think that as a little child cries, it's very, very appropriate to put your arm around this child, pat him on the back, and oftentimes the tears usually dry up. I don't think I do enough of that. So this business of feeling, this business of touch, is a very effective vehicle in communication. For us as parents, for us as brethren, and sometimes I don't think we do enough of that. Because it is a valuable sense, and I think it's a very important one. Because, you know, we can tell by a person's handshake, by a touch, you know. It does a lot of consoling, doesn't it? It's a very effective means of telling, giving someone else a message, rather than the word. Like we said at the onset, the Scottish have this expression that some things are better telt, or some things are better... how did I say that? Than telt. Okay, some things you can feel better than you can tell things. Thank you. So these are wonderful gifts, and it helps us appreciate these senses here, these wonderful organs that we have to understand God's plan. And then we have our heart and our brain. We have the power to think, to reason, to discern, make decisions. And then we have our complex nervous system. That is so complicated that man has not been able to duplicate any parts of it. Even the brain, a 3-pound brain. They built gigantic computers, and the computers can't do the job that our human brain can. Gigantic computers can't come close to what the Heavenly Father has placed in His loving creation. And that's why we have the scripture that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. So with all these wonderful faculties, brethren, we are able to study, we're able to seek, we're able to study God's plan, and the wonderful doctrines that are laid out before us, the one we mentioned earlier, the permission of evil and the restitution, the resurrection, sanctification, glorification, are just to name a few. And those have been all preserved for us throughout the ages. And we need to be mindful of those and continually show our gratitude toward them. I failed to mention resurrection, but just in passing, this concept of the resurrection that the Apostle Paul told us, it was one of the first principles. I forget, I'm just paraphrasing how it went, but in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in about the first third or fourth verse, he said that this gospel of the resurrection is of first importance. And isn't that an incredible gift, the gospel of the resurrection? The two resurrections. Yes, this day, an hour when, you know, all there's going to be an incredible reunion, the reuniting of all the loved ones that are in their graves. There will be no more hospitals because there won't be a need for them. There will be no more deaths. There's going to be no more rest homes, nursing homes, no crying or weeping. There will be no need for doctors because there aren't going to be any more deaths. Then we can commence to appreciate the blessed future work where joy and life will come to all the families of the earth. And shouldn't that indeed fill our hearts with joy and with gratitude and with thankfulness? So in trying to summarize these thoughts this afternoon, brethren, we believe the time is very short in making our calling and election sure. We need to have our priorities set in proper perspective, especially as we evaluate the conditions, the political, the social, the economical, and the religious. We don't have a lot of time to develop those Christ-like spirit, those fruits that God is so desirous of having us develop, and that he's favoring and that he considers essential for heirship with him, the fruits of the Spirit. And he's still given us an opportunity to proclaim the old story of Jesus and his love. So let us continually, brethren, be thankful for all he has done for us, the fact that he's leading us and directing us. Which leads us to a scripture in Philippians. It's an admonishment to the church at Philippi, but it's also very applicable for us. It's in Philippians. Scripture citation can be found in the 6th and 7th verse of Philippians 4, where Paul wrote, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So this peace of God is that peace that is imparted through God's Holy Spirit to us. And we'd like to consider one more scripture here in closing. It focuses on our Christian walk. It's right nearby in the book of Colossians. Paul again admonishes us to do this in our Christian walk. In Colossians, the third chapter, Colossians 3, third chapter of Colossians, commencing with about the 12th verse, we read, "Put on then as God's chosen holy ones, beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put these. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Aren't those beautiful words? In other words, Paul in this chapter is telling us to put this love, which is the bond of perfection. He tells us what graces to put off earlier in that chapter, and then he comes back and tells us the graces that we need to put on, the compassion, the kindness, the meekness, the humility. And then he goes on a little further where he says, put this love on, which is the bond of perfection. These graces, he says, must be in us. They must be perfected in us. And our hearts have to fit in order for our hearts to fit into God's plan, into the structure. The Heavenly Father is very desirous of these qualities in each and every one of us. So the graces then must be bound by this, by the cords of love. Love for the Lord, love for righteousness, love for the brethren. And we certainly indeed have to have that sympathetic love for the groaning creation all around us. So, brethren, may these sentiments be yours and mine always on this day, as well as the days that lie before us. Because we are yearning for this day, because it is a bright day that lies before us. And I again want to give all the brethren my heartfelt thanks for this 3 days. I want to express my gratitude to all of you, because I love all of you, and you are my brethren.
You got 8 minutes more if you want it.
Oh, I think I'm just about wrapped up. I'm all. We don't watch the clock, Brother Edgar. I think maybe the brethren are desirous of a little additional fellowship if they need it.
You think they might be here all night, do you? We thank you very much for your remarks. You were speaking about our beloved Sister Cox here. She's he spoke about you in his discourse, and he spoke about the fact that you told him you were 91 years old. She tells us all, and she probably has a birth certificate to prove it, that she was born in 1889. Now, quick arithmetic tells you that makes her 93 years old. She kind of forgets once in a while. I've talked to her about this. She tells us she's 91 years old, but she's working on her 94th birthday right now when it comes up. You stop and think about that at her age. And we have little ones here in our Sunday school that are 4 years old. They are here to learn. And she is here to learn. You figure that out, that's a span of 89 years. Both learning the truth, seeking the truth. It's something to think about. One of the meetings we had in Provincial House where Sister Cox is, there were about 13 of us. I can't remember the exact amount. You don't mean I've been saying Sister Cox all this time, do you? She's trying to tell me something I don't even know what I'm talking. Okay, it's about time the convention to close. Beloved Sister Snow, I haven't known her long enough. That's the whole trouble. Thanks, Ralph. We were there And there were about 13 of us. We had a testimony meeting. Beloved Sister Cox and Sister Snow. Sister Cox is still alive at that time. And over half, there were probably about seven or eight of them that were less than 30 years old. The remainder of them, except one, was 70 years or older. That one person was me. I was around 50 at the time, more or less. The thing of it is, you look and you note time passing. I can remember when I was not so very old. And you look now and here all these young people are. And lo and behold, the time is really gone. And the beloved Jackson Crass had the opportunity since 1967 to have a Labor Day convention. Now, there are some here who do not even remember the Saginaw Convention, less having been there. But we were there. And those of us who were knew, felt exactly what it was like. The spirit of the truth. And it is that which we, the Jackson Friends, wanted to continue. We speak of the Sun Bombs. I don't know how many remember them, but they were indeed a part of the Saginaw class and a great deal when they come to preparing those conventions and putting them on. And when they both died, Saginaw couldn't do it anymore. But to the beloved brethren who are now in Bay City, they have a meeting also in Kaukauli. They send us $200 every year, and there are not over five, six, seven of them there. So we, as a Jackson class, have had the opportunity to put together 16 conventions so far, and we plan on a 17th, not knowing what shall come. Read in the paper, and we know, we realize Mexico is practically going bankrupt. Cuba, they say, is in worse shape than that. And the moguls, as far as the money are concerned, are meeting in Europe to determine what are we going to do about it? How are we going to meet those losses and so on as far as the debts they have is concerned. As it continues, we see the monetary system as it eventually will go down. And we don't know how much longer it will last. We have no idea whether it'll be here next year or not. But we're planning on it. The Lord may change those plans. But we would like that you would be here too. By the Lord's grace, we invite you right now to Convention 1983 in Jackson. And we trust that we might be able to do then as we try to do now. And as we tried to do all these last past 16 years to welcome you, to prove to you we love you, and to give you the kind of food the brethren should have, the Lord would have us to give, the kind of spiritual food that we all need. This has been our endeavor. So we would like you all to come back again. And it won't be too long before 1983, sooner than you might think. Thank you, Merle. How many would like to send your love to the various classes that are represented here? We probably ought to have done that yesterday. We have Australia and California and Florida. We could go on and on. We're going to ask Brother D. Weiss to close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing hymn number 164.
Our dear, most loving Heavenly Father, we again come to Thee at the close of this convention, thanking Thee indeed for the bountiful blessings that we receive. And we are immensely grateful for all the labors of love and the spiritual food and the temporal food and the fellowship and the wonderful spirit manifested here at this convention. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask that You overrule those things that were said and done amiss, and we now ask, Heavenly Father, to be with all of those that are journeying home and to be with them and guide them in their appropriate paths. And we now pray for all those who have special needs at this time to be with them and comfort them. And we continually pray and long for that wonderful day that is soon to dawn, the dawn of the wonderful kingdom. And we ask and pray for all these things through Your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
I've changed my mind. 64. Jackson friends give you a holy salute and a holy kiss, and we will see you again in 1 year at this convention. And Sister Snow may also be here. And then again, she may be in the great convention above.